I'll paint this picture for you guys. So you're laying in bed, just completely prone, just in the most comfortable position that you can think of. That's how I like to watch movies. But I also desperately need a beverage whenever I watch movies. So I always have a drink, like either a glass of water, a glass of pop, whatever it is, beside me. But you know what the struggle is? That halfway through the movies, almost every time without fail, I get absolutely parched. Like my mouth becomes a desert and I don't know what to do, except for the water's right there, right? But you know, I'm so comfortable. I'm laying there in a position that just does not really aid the drinking of anything. And so I found myself countless times over and over again, even no matter how many times this happens, trying to somehow warp my mouth around the lip of the cup while I'm laying down. And almost every single time it results with a face full of water and a soaking wet bed. And for some reason, no matter how many times it happens, I continue to do it over and over again. Because you know what? Comfortability, it's pretty nice, right? Like it's really enticing. Because comfortability, the bed just shapes to you, you know, like you don't want to move. It's just awesome. But it's tricky because comfortability almost, it's a posture that does not allow for movement. It doesn't allow for you to be in the posture of doing anything, right? Like how simple would it have been? I could have sat up and taken a sip of the water and it would have been perfect, right? Like there would have been no issue. That's how it was meant to be. But for some reason, in my comfortable state, I refused to change my posture, and that posture resulted in disaster. In this section of scripture, I see that the Pharisees here, they're just such an example of how comfortability can be a problem. They're such an example of how comfortability can affect our lives. You see, comfortability, while it's incredibly enticing, like I said, it lacks the proper posture. And I want to touch on the three things that I noticed that came out of this section of scriptures, that comfortability conforms, comfortability kills connection, and comfortability actually counters the Great Commission. And I'll unpack that for you. So the first point that I have for you guys today is that comfortability conforms. As I said earlier, the Pharisees, they were the best at what they did in their day. They knew the Bible cover to cover. They were those kids in Sunday school that won sword drills 10 out of 10 times. And the people knew that. They respected that. And so the people around them, they went to them for anything that they ever needed, and they were on a pedestal, right? And so for them, it was pretty easy. They had the best things. They had all the respect of the people. But then this guy named Jesus comes along, and he threatened that. He threatened the thing that they were used to. He threatened that position that they were in. And they didn't really know what to do, right? And then not only Jesus comes along, but the apostles are there too. We see in this section of scripture here where it says, "With the high priest rose up and all who were with him," that is the party of the Sadducees, "and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in a public prison." You see, for them, the threat to their comfortability was so imminent that they didn't just get frustrated or feel a little bit awkward. They were so threatened that they actually threw the apostles into prison. You see, the apostles right before this had been performing signs and wonders to the people. They were so filled with the Holy Spirit that even a shadow was healing somebody. Like things that were incredible. But the Pharisees refused because they saw that as a threat to their own lives. They saw that to a threat to, oh, well, if this is true, you know what that means. That means that I have to change. That means that I have to change what I'm used to. That means that I have to shift what's comfortable for me. You see, they were the people trying to wrap their lips around the side of that cup, trying to pour the water and refusing to change their posture. And they were risking it all just for the sake of being comfortable. I know far too often that I find myself in this place. That I'm just doing the same thing over and over again in routine, just like the Pharisees. You see, they'd been doing this for a long time. It's not like the Pharisees were just some trend that had popped up. They were used to this. I know that I find myself in routines so often, or in things that I think are the way it's supposed to be. And as soon as something threatens that, I find myself frustrated and angry. For those of you who don't know, I work at Starbucks. And there's a lot of people who get angry about the things that get changed. You see, we have people come in almost every single day who get the same drink. day after day after day after day. We have people who have come in so often that they specify even the direct quantity of milk. They know the color of coffee if there's not the right amount of milk in it. And you know, as soon as it's not okay or it's not proper, they don't just get frustrated. For some reason, coffee makes people angry. And so when it's not right, they get absolutely furious. They think that it's okay to come in and start getting mad at us, and it's just over the comfortability of the fact that they don't have the same amount of milk in their coffee that they're used to. And so, but the Pharisees, it's very similar, right? Like, they were so used to something that had been happening over and over and over again, day after day, and then Jesus comes along and threatens it. Right now in our world, we face things very similar to this. For those of you who don't know, every summer, churches get the opportunity to apply for grants, and we get the opportunity to actually welcome interns into our church, and the government actually pays for that. But as of this summer, actually, this is the first summer, the government instilled that we have to abide by all of their employment laws. So that means that we, regardless of religion, regardless of worldview, if you want to get government grants, you have to subscribe to what they believe is okay. And you know, it's so easy to think, oh, well, it's just a box, right? Like, it's easy. It could be, all you have to do is check a box, and that actually makes it so you can get a grant. There's churches who don't check the box, hoping that God will provide in that way, but the government refuses. And you know what? You know what would be the easiest part? It's just checking it, right? It's just a check mark. It's just a small compromise, and then we can get funding, right? That student can get paid this summer. But that's not okay. It's not just a check mark. God calls us out of a life of compromise and into that place of trust, right? So are you willing? Are we willing to compromise just for the sake of being comfortable? I'm not. I sure hope you guys aren't either, because it's not worth it. You know, the apostles were faced with a much more real situation than a lack of funding. The first thing is that they didn't have any funding in the first place, so they didn't have to worry about it. But they were faced with a threat of their lives. And they, unlike the Pharisees, embraced that uncomfortability and refused to conform to what the world was telling them they needed to do. The Pharisees said, you must do this, you must do that. And Jesus came along and said, we must love, we must follow what the gospel says, right? We can't be those people who are willing, just for the sake of being comfortable, to conform to society, because the result of comfortability is actually conformity. The longer you stay in a place of comfortability, the more likely it is that you'll be willing to compromise and conform to the world. You see, Jesus was constantly calling people out of their comfortability. I think the apostles knew that they needed to step out of comfortability because Jesus had been teaching them that for 3 years. He called them directly out of the comfortability of their fishing. He called them directly out of the comfortability of their tax collecting. And he said, come with me. You see, there was even examples of people who refused to be uncomfortable. We looked, there was a story of a rich young ruler. He was somebody who had it all, just like the Pharisees. He had the power, he had the money, he had the standing in the community. And when Jesus said, sell it all and come with me, when he said, step out of the comfortable and embrace what's uncomfortable and trust me, he said, no. You see, Jesus knew that comfortability caused conformity. And Jesus knew that being comfortable refused to allow for movement to happen. And that's not just in physical forms, like not just movement forward, like as you're laying down, oh yeah, you can't move, obviously. But it caused you not to move closer together with people, closer together with him. And that leads me into the second point that I have, that comfortability kills closeness. Just like I said, Jesus was constantly calling his disciples out of comfortability. You want to know why he called them out of comfortability? I think it's pretty obvious. Because comfortability is evident of a lack of trust. Being comfortable is evidence that you don't trust the potential to be uncomfortable. Have any of you ever participated in a trust fall exercise? I know that I have. They're pretty scary. I don't think that they're easy, and that's probably why they do them though, right? Because you have to actually trust. Do you think that maybe like a trust sit exercise or a trust stand exercise would be just as effective? I hope you don't, because it doesn't make any sense. There's no trust involved with something that's easy and something that's comfortable. You know, we see the disciples here. The apostles. They were just arrested, and they were thrown into prison, a public prison at that. So what that means is it's not just public people. Like, it's not like, oh, public prison. That's just like it comes along with like the guy who's always yelling in the village that always gets arrested, and this guy. It was actually a public humiliation. A public prison was done publicly that they were imprisoned. So it made it pretty difficult, I think, for them, because they were just trying to trust what God had planned for them. They went and they were participating, and you just like I mentioned, they had been doing signs and wonders right before. And yet, for them, it seems like the result was just merely, it was just merely to be humiliated and to be arrested and thrown into prison. That doesn't seem to me like something that, like, can you imagine? You're like, Lord, I trust you. I love you. Imprisonment and humiliation. But you know, just like the trust fall exercise, the apostles had to choose to take a step out. They had to choose to say yes to God, embrace the uncomfortableness that was standing completely against the status quo of their time. And they got thrown in prison. But just like the trust fall, they were in free fall. Free fall always feels the longest. It always feels like the most difficult time, even though it realistically is the shortest part of it. You're falling for maybe a second, and yet you're terrified of that 1 second. But you know what the best part about trust falls are? Is that as you're scared and as you're falling, a second later, arms embrace you. A second later, you are reassured that the fear that you had was actually not valid because there were people surrounding you, people there to catch you. And you see, the apostles were mid-free fall. And then just as they're most scared, as they're most fearful, arms surround them. God sent a messenger into the darkest of their times. And we see that an angel appeared to them in the prison. Just when you think that it's the most fearful part, God calls you to trust and know that he's there. In a trust fall, you know the people are behind you. You know that they're there. And I know for me that anytime I've participated in something like that, I felt closer to the people who caught me. And I don't know what it is about that, but I know that Jesus knows, because he makes so clearly in the Bible that trust and love go hand in hand. You can't love somebody if you don't trust them. Those people who you love, don't you trust them? And with that, how often have you guys ever gotten closer in a relationship with somebody without taking a risk, without taking a step out into the uncomfortable? I know I have never had a moment in my life where I've grown closer with somebody without taking a risk, without taking a step out. It's just too easy to sit there, right? Like, it's too easy. That would make relationships far too simple. If you could just meet somebody and immediately you were trusting, and immediately they knew you, and immediately they loved you. But in those moments, you have to say, I trust you, and I'm going to allow for you to either choose to love me or not, right? And that's what Jesus was calling his disciples to all throughout the ministry, is to choose to trust him. Because he knew that trust and love went hand in hand. You see, closeness is only produced in an environment that of trust and putting yourself out there. See, me even being here right now is an example of that. I was so comfortable. I had just graduated Bible college. I had just had a year where I was super busy. And I got to go home. I went home. didn't have to pay rent, didn't have to pay for food. I just worked and made money and basically did whatever I wanted. And meanwhile, I was like, yeah, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I wanted to follow the call that you have. But you know what? I was comfortable. It was easy. I look back and I could say, if I wanted to, I could have stayed there forever. And it would have been fine because guess what? I was working, I was making money, not paying rent, not paying for food. It was awesome. She probably would have. But God spoke to my heart and he over the summer, he said, if you want to see me move, you have to trust. You have to make space for me. Otherwise, there won't be any movement. If we don't allow for God to step in between our fears and ourselves, we won't see him move. We have to make space, otherwise nothing will happen. And sure, yeah, I believe God is powerful enough to work in the comfortability of where you're sitting, but I think that he knows that you're comfortable and he wants to call you into trust with him because there's so much greater than where you're at. I stepped out and God opened areas in my heart that I didn't even know needed to be opened. And he's worked in areas of my life that I didn't even know needed to be worked in. I could never have facilitated that. There's no way that I myself could have done that. You see, but I trust myself and it's easy to be with myself because I'm the only one, right? But God knows that there won't be any progress without you trusting him or other people around you. Think about the marriages in this room. If you never stepped out and asked the person out, think about the girlfriends in this room. If you never stepped and asked the person out, there would have never been a relationship. If you didn't take the risk of exposing your heart to them, there would have been no opportunity for there to be progress. Closeness in relationship is bred in uncomfortable environments. Not allowing for yourself to be uncomfortable only allows for shallow relationships. I'm going to read that again. Closeness in relationship is bred in uncomfortable environments. Not allowing for yourself to be uncomfortable allows for shallow relationships. I know for me it's such a hard area because you know the deepest, darkest parts of yourself. You know the things that you don't like about yourself. And the idea of sharing with somebody else is terrifying. The idea of allowing for somebody else to choose to say, I love you because of that, or I love you regardless of that, it's terrifying, right? I can guarantee that all of you aren't saying, oh yeah, that's easy peasy, right? Like, I'll tell somebody the worst thing I've ever done and expect for them to love me and no problem, right? No way. It's scary, but from that, it produces so much depth. When you step out and say, God, I trust you, here's the worst parts of me, you're putting yourself out there for him to respond. And you know what the best part about that closeness is and that trust is that once you step into that, everything flows from that. Everything flows from that. You see, God calls us to a call of uncomfortability. In one time or another, you're going to be called out of a place of comfortability and put into a place of being uncomfortable. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, that's going to happen. And the apostles, they were clearly in an uncomfortable position. You see, from closeness with God, everything should flow. Our trust in God fuels the things that we do we need to do a trust fall in our relationship with God. We need to fall back knowing that he'll catch us, but embracing the fear that it has and knowing that he will be there regardless. And then once he catches us, we can allow for him to propel us forward. Only once we trust and allow for him to catch us is when we can allow for him to propel us forward. That leads me into the last thing that I have to say for you guys is that comfortability counters the Great Commission. For me, this is, I think, the hardest one. Comfortability counters the very thing that God has called us to do. But how often do I find myself refusing to talk to that person, refusing to leave that seat to come to the front because I'm scared, because it's comfortable there, because I'm comfortable with my issues, because if I don't expose them, it means that I don't have to work at them, and it means that I don't have to tell anybody about them. But you see, as soon as the disciples encountered the love of God in that prison cell, you know what the angel said to them? He said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. They encountered the love of God, and that propelled them out of comfortability. Do you know that they were actually called to go to the middle of the temple of the people who just arrested them at the busiest time of day, no less? All of the Jews were coming to the temple to pray and to worship at that time. And God said, go. You see, if they would have stuck in their comfortability, they would have never left that cell. And I think the craziest part for me is that the Pharisees in this whole story were so consumed with their comfort. They were so consumed with the fact that they needed to stay where they were at that they refused to even see what God was doing around them. I know for me that if I saw signs and wonders, I would be compelled to change my life. If I was living in a place that didn't allow for that, if I saw people being healed by shadows, I would be compelled to change what I was doing. But the Pharisees refused because they were comfortable. They refused because they loved what they had. And you know what that did? While the apostles were in the prison, they were too busy talking about the fact that the seat that they sat in every Sunday was threatened, and that the song that they sang every Sunday that really got them into worship was potentially going to be changed. They were too worried about the things that made them comfortable that they actually hadn't even noticed that their pursuits were empty. The prison had already been emptied, and they were still too busy talking about it. And while they were busy pursuing the emptiness of their own pursuits, God had freed the apostles and pushed them into the calling that he had put on their life. How often have I found myself in a place where I pursue something that I think is so justified? I think that the things that I do are so justified because that's how we do them on Sunday. That's how church is supposed to be. No, God calls us out of conformity. He calls us out to stand away from those things because the Great Commission isn't comfortable. It's not comfortable, right? Like the seat that you sit on every Sunday does not matter at all if nobody else is coming into the church to fill that seat. If you're not there and that seat's still empty, are we really following the call of God? You see, I know that so often I'm too scared, too worried to do anything that God calls me to do. But we need to first trust him before we can do anything. We need to first trust him before we go into our summers without government grants, because that's where he'll work. That's where he'll provide. We need to first trust him in our relationship with him, because that's where he'll move in our heart. That's where he'll shake those things off that we've been holding on to for so many years. We need to trust him when we step out in our ministry, knowing that he will fulfill the Great Commission through our uncomfortability. You see, God continues to call us always out of comfortability. Because as I said at the start, comfortability refuses to allow for movement or progress to happen at all. The Great Commission calls for us to preach the gospel in situations where it has the potential to be rejected. The Great Commission calls us to out of comfort and into trust. It's a really big and scary call. It's not something that I'd say is easy. I'm sure that the apostles weren't saying, "Oh, this is easy to be here in prison. This is easy to be humiliated." It's not easy. But we know that there's somebody behind us ready to catch us as we're falling. we know that he has greater things planned than what we could ever facilitate. The Pharisees thought they knew it all. The Pharisees thought they had it all figured out. They didn't. But they were humans just like us, and I know I find myself and catch myself there where I think I can plan better than what God can. As I conclude, I just want to ask you guys a question. Are you willing to sacrifice your call for comfortability? The Pharisees were. They had all the same Bible that everyone else did. And they saw the prophecies of Jesus, yet they refused because they were comfortable. Are you willing to sacrifice your call for comfortability? Because in reality, no matter who you are or where you are, God's going to call you out of comfortability. And you can either choose to embrace and trust him that he has planned for you so much greater, so much bigger things, or you can choose to stay there and end up with a face full of water and a really, really mediocre, really like satisfying life. I know that I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing because you know what? This life is short. This life is a vapor, and Jesus calls us to say yes to him. We sang the song, "This Is How I Fight My Battles," so many times in the last little bit. And while we were singing it today, I was just so in such recognition of that this just resonates with this message this morning. That in those times where you're called to conform, you have to say, "God, I trust you. This is how I fight my battles. Right here with you, that's it." You have to trust him that when you have the worst part of you, you feel like you're so caught up in what's the worst of you, you have to say, "God, this is how I fight my battles. I trust that you have a plan for this. I trust that you love me overall." When you go out into the world and it seems scary, you have to say, "I trust you, Lord. Because this is how you fight my battles. You're beside me, you're inside me, and you're in front of me." Trust is the key here, guys. This has been something that has just been so weighing on my own heart. You can't trust and expect God to work. Like, you can't not trust and expect God to work. You have to say yes. You have to be willing. Because without trusting that he loves you, you'll be stuck in shame. Without trusting that he has a plan for you, you'll be stuck in a disqualified state of identity. You have to step out and say yes. As Marco was talking about Love Kamloops, we have to just recognize that if we don't trust that God is going to bring people into the church and he's going to touch those lives, we won't see anything happen. And if we're too busy focused on the traditions and the symbols and the things that we're used to in this church, nobody will want to come here. Nobody will want to encounter the love of God because all they see is a religiosity. All they see is people gathering, doing the same thing over and over and over again. But the love of God is so uncomfortable. It's so unusual. People today don't understand. Because in our world, you have to do something in order to receive something. But we can know and trust that God says, "Have it all because I love you. Have it all because I see the darkest part of you and I say yes to you. I've called you, not because you're qualified, not because you know your Bible the best, but because I love you and I have a plan for you." Father, I pray that you will just overwhelm us this morning, Lord, with a trust in you, Lord. Not in ourselves, Father. Not in what we have to bring to the table, because in reality, that's nothing. You don't call the qualified. You don't call the capable, Father. You call those who say yes. Lord, I pray that we will just recognize, Lord, that you directly counteract these things of comfortability, Lord. that you cause us, you call us out of conformity, Lord. You call us deep into connection with you, and you call us out to fulfill the Great Commission, Lord. Father, I pray that you will just instill that trust in our hearts, Lord, that as the fears come about, Lord, as the traditions seek to annihilate the church growth, Father, as we get so used to where we're at, I pray that you will shock us with your Holy Spirit, that we will be so aware of where we're at and that we are comfortable, Lord, and you will call us out to love extravagantly in our community, to love in a way that doesn't make sense, Lord, because on all of this, trust is hinged, Lord. We need to trust in order to see this happen. So, Lord, I pray that we will trust you with our church. We will trust you with our city. And we will trust you with our own hearts. In your name, amen.